Well, Glory Church, get your Bibles out tonight. I want to show you something here. Let's look at some Word. Let's feast on a little Word tonight. On John chapter 10. John chapter 10. This is kind of following along the lines of the message on Sunday morning about don't be eat up with stupid. And so, you know, as a kid, I remember having those old fans in the house, you know. Actually, it's been kind of funny because on like, what's the show, American Pickers, you know, where they're going out and they're buying those, and they find those old fans. And I was like, I had one like that, you know. I hate that stuff. But, you know, I'm talking about the kind that, actually, it was probably my grandmother's fan that was like, you know, like it had a, gosh, how do I describe it? You know, it had like a base that came down that was real big, and the fan oscillated, but the fan blades were metal, you know, and they had that piece of a wire cage, but it wasn't much of a wire cage. And why as a kid you're just compelled to want to stick your finger in the fan? I mean, it's like a beckoning call to just, you just want to touch it, right? But those old metal fans, you know, I mean, boy, they'd work you over pretty bad, you know, and it's just like, you know, goes right along with what I was talking about on Sunday morning. You just, sometimes in life, we just eat up with stupid. We just are beckoned to do things that you think this isn't going to turn out well, but you just have to try it, right? Well, let's look at that with that thought in mind, and let's look at John chapter 10 here. Jesus is speaking. He says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door of the is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, I believe that things can be improved on, right? But have you ever looked at a shovel? Just really looked at a shovel. You look at a shovel that we have today, and then you look at a shovel that the Egyptians dug with, and there's not a lot of difference. A shovel works one way, right? I mean, you know, you've got a spade, you've got a shovel, right? It may be differences, and there may be the handle length difference, and it may have a little yoke over it, or it may be straight, it may have a flat tip. But shovels haven't really changed over a lot of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, right? You know why? Because shovels work. And everybody doesn't, you know, really want to, there's nothing you can do to really improve a shovel, right? You may put an angle on it, you may jump. Point being, Jesus is saying, look, there's a way that God's been moving over the eons of time. And anybody that's trying to climb in the window or tear the roof off or slip under the door, that way, that method, there's no quick fix. There's no just, you know, some magical mist that's going to happen or fall or change or do something different that's then going to make the situation change. Look over the eons of everything that God's done, and he's always moved a certain way. He's a God that changes not, and he's got a way he's going to do things, and that's the way it's going to be done, and there's no shortcuts. I don't know about y'all. I like shortcuts. Don't we? I mean, we want shortcuts. So Jesus said, listen, this is a simple thing. You're sheep, and sheep are in the pen, and the shepherd lets them out. And there ain't no sense climbing in or out any other way. And the sheep have one job to do. Hear the voice of the shepherd. Verse 3 says, to him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. He calls into his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Now when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So the method is not in front of Jesus, but behind him. Right? You can't follow something that you're in front of. You can't get ahead of Jesus, because what happens is if you get ahead of Jesus in life, or you want him to move quicker than he's moving, or you want something to change quicker than he's changing, or you want something to be done, and you get ahead of him, you lose sight of where he is, so then you're just going and blazing a trail, and he's standing behind you, and you're lost. It's real easy to get lost in life if Jesus is not in front of you. So, I've always been a really big advocate in my life of wanting to follow Jesus, but at times I do get ahead. Anybody in here ever got ahead? Okay, glad there's not all liars in here. You know, I tend to want things to happen, and I tend to get out at least, you know, shoulder to shoulder. I'm just kind of looking over, and he's there. Right? But the whole principle is it's not like, you know, follow three steps behind, but it's just being there with him, but you've got to hear his voice. And I've noticed in life, the Bible always says, you know, that man's to walk through the doors that God opens, but a lot of times we want to get the crowbar out, we want to get the pry bar out, we want to work on it, we want to hurry up and get it out. I look at our young people over here, and I always remember when I was in high school, all I want to do is get out of school. Then I got out of school and had to go to work. Lord, have mercy. It's like, wait a minute, this isn't what I was thinking. I just wanted to get out of school because I didn't want anybody telling me what to do. I didn't want to obey any rules. I didn't have to walk in there. I wanted to get out of school for that reason. And I just said, I also want to get out of school. You know, I'm ready to get into the world, tell the world. Then I got in the world and said, hey, wait a minute. Y'all with me? Isn't it funny, like as a Christian, we want to hurry up and get there, but then when we get there, it's like, oh, really, this is it. Wow. This isn't what I was thinking. Okay. So Jesus goes on, he says, and when they bring out his own sheep, verse 4, he goes before them, the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Every morning I go out and I have deer that I feed, throw some corn to, and just wild deer. And then as it's gotten harder, you know, and through the drought and all that, it seems like a few more show up, and then a few more show up. Before long, I got this herd of deer out there, like 30 deer show up every morning. There used to be 5. And everybody's wanting me to feed them. And it's so funny because I go out every morning and feed them, but when I'm gone, Laura feeds them. And so when she goes out there, the deer just snort, break, and run because it's not me. And what's funny is, you know, I mean, most of the time I get up every morning, I'm going to work, and I roughly, I guess, have on the same clothes, you know. And if I put on a different shirt, like if I have an orange shirt or something that's out of the ordinary, I go out there and the deer are like, we know that's you, but, you know, something's not right. And if I usually don't feed them with my hat on. I usually don't have my hat on because I just got up and just walked out and just fed them and came back. And if I do put my hat on and walk outside, they're all like, oh, what's this? You know, something's up. And it's funny how they know it's me, but they want to run. And I was thinking about that one day. I said, how many times I know it's the voice of Jesus, but I really don't want to do it. You know, I want to run. It's like, oh, Lord, not that. And then there's been other things that have said to me, you know, that you got to understand something. The devil's not going to always get you off track in life by saying, hey, man, let's go rob a liquor store. You know, let's go do something really out of whack. But it could be something that sounds really good. Like, let's go do this. Let's go minister to so-and-so when ministering to so-and-so wasn't even in the realm of what God wanted you to do that day. Hello? Because we got to hear his voice. We got to know that what we're doing is God's way of doing it. Right? And there's no way we're going to learn that until we know how God moves and what his voice is. And we always need to be attentive. Just because something looks good doesn't mean it's good. Just because something looks, oh, look at this. Man, you better make sure that God is leading you into that. Okay. So for me, I look for things. I look for confirmation. And no matter what I'm doing or whatever I'm going to do, I look for confirmation. I look to see if what I'm doing, if I'm hearing the voice of God, I look to see from whoever's around me, my you know, my friends, my whatever, the counsel of God's word, the counsel of whatever I can, get as much counsel as I can to see, man, is this going in the right? Are we going in the right direction? Is that really true? I'm really hearing that. I don't have a ventriloquist. Right? It's the real deal. This is where I'm headed. Okay. So Jesus goes on. And he says in verse 7, Jesus said again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them." So you get this, you get this image of Jesus is saying, look, I've got sheep, but there's some thieves and robbers out there. As much as my theology wants to wrestle with this sometimes, folks, I'm telling you, there are agents of hell that come to steal from you. They may look good, they may speak good, they may do whatever, but they are agents of hell sent to steal from you. And you better become aware that no matter how you want to say, oh, God loves everybody. Well, he does, but that don't mean I have to get over there by that group. Let him love them. I'm not saying I don't love them. I'm just saying I ain't going to mess with them because I don't believe they're of God. And if you get close to that and you give the thieves an opportunity, they're going to steal from you. Maybe he's stealing your time, your attention, your direction. Okay? He goes on and he says, verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." The thief has three things to do: kill, steal, and destroy. Have y'all ever seen on television? I just caught it a few times on this thing called bait car, where they take a car and they go into a neighborhood and then they jump out and cause some sort of a scene and they run off and leave the keys in it, and then they're not gone any time. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, flies on roadkill, man. They just come out there. They just come out of the woodworks, come out there. And then they jump in there, and then they steal the car, and then they catch them. And then God goes, why? No, they asked me to move it, or whatever. You know, I mean, they always have some big line or some big story when they're on camera, you know. And they're you know, it's just the most ridiculous thing in the world. But it's funny, you know, the thief spoke to those people. Listen to me. The thief is ever active in this world going around. He speaks to people and he gets people to believe that somebody else's stuff can be theirs. If they take it and don't get caught, it was okay. That's the voice of the thief. Y'all with me? You got to understand the thief that Jesus talked to, he's not coming around, you know, with a pitchfork and a little cloven hoods, and you're not going to find him like that. It's the spirit. It's this thing in the world. It's things that steal from people when they don't even realize they're being stolen from. When it steals integrity and it steals honesty. I mean, think about a prostitute. They go out there and they influence these girls that everybody's going to love them. They're going to be great. They're going to be sexy. And everybody's going to look at them. Everybody's going to adore them. And then what does it steal from them? It steals their it brings shame upon them. It steals their integrity. It steals their honesty. And at the end of the road, it's nothing but destruction. Well, the thief spoke to them and they heard his voice and they followed him. Right? It could be whatever. I'm using that as an extreme example, but folks, I want to tell you something. You got to watch it, because every day the thief is trying to speak to you in some way, some form, in some fashion. You better know the difference between the voice of the shepherd and the voice of the thief. Right now, I maybe it's just me, and I'm, like I said, sometimes I worry about that. I'm just getting older and more aware of things and see things, you know, whatever. But I look at things and I'm just like, I cannot believe the things that are happening in this world that everybody says it's okay. Especially things that are going on in our government. I look at it and it's like, where does anybody get the idea that that was okay to do that? What were you listening to? And it's always the same thing, the voice of the thief. And you can sit there and you can argue all day long about you know, well, this or this or this or this. But folks, I'm telling you, there's two voices. There's two voices. And what gets me is people are sold out to the voice of the thief and really believe and are standing up promoting the thief and stand behind the voice of the thief and say, no, this is okay. Okay. Let me get off that. Verse 10, the thief comes except not to kill, steal, and destroy. Verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. But a hireling is he who is not a shepherd, is one who does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf catches the sheep and he scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Okay, let's skip down to verse 17. Therefore, my father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my father. Okay, let's go on down. Jesus, verse 25, Jesus answered and said, I told you, you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, you're my sheep, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So, in other words, the thief's job is to deceive enough people to get believing in the voice of the thief so that then they set up their camp and say, no, this is really the real voice. Right? This is really the real voice. So they set up camp over there and promote that and say, that's the real voice. That's the true voice. That's the right way. That is really right. That other over there, that's not right. But Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. So is it possible for the people in the camp of the thief to change? What if they're all sheep? But these sheep hearing the voice and those sheep are deceived sheep. In other words, isn't it possible for it to be in every man the ability to hear the voice of the shepherd? It is. In the heart of every man. Now, man may get so hard-hearted and so wicked and so depraved and so whatever that he doesn't hear anymore. He's not even going to listen to reason. He's not going to listen to the voice. But there's not anybody, no matter how belligerent they may be into the thief's camp, that does not have the capacity to tune in and hear the voice of the shepherd. Now, I'm not saying they're going to, but they have the ability to. Right? So then Jesus says this. But you do not believe because you're not of my sheep, as I said. Okay, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and they know them, they follow me. 28. I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my Father's hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. The word there, snatch, okay? It means... to take for oneself is where the root comes from. In other words, someone comes and he takes for himself, right? But you got to understand something. It says, it means for someone else to seize it, someone to pluck it, someone to take it by force. That doesn't mean that the person couldn't leap off the hand. In other words, God's saying, listen, there's no force from hell that's out there that can come in and just snatch you out when you're believing and staying in the palm of my Father's hand. When you're hanging on and clinging on to the things of Jesus, he says, anybody that believes in me is never going to be ashamed. There's nothing going to swoop in and just snatch you out. Only thing that would happen is if you got to dabbling over listening to the voice of the enemy, right? And you got along the bank's edge, you got to getting too close to the edge, then all of a sudden, nothing snatched you out. You fell off. Listen, I'm just telling you all this because I'm not supposed to preach politics, because that always makes everybody mad. And I'm not, but I just want to tell you something. Listen to what all the candidates are saying. Listen to what the GOP candidates are saying. Listen to them in debates and what they say. And then just ask yourself if you can hear the voice of the shepherd anywhere in it. I'm not saying you can or you can't. I'm not saying who is and who isn't. I'm just saying just listen. Because as I pray and as I listen and I look and I listen, I read and look at what's going on and talk about people and all that, it's really pretty funny to me how at first it looks like a blur, and then it's pretty easy to go in there and start sorting things off and saying, because you can hear it. You can hear who is listening to the voice of the shepherd, and you can hear who believes the voice of the thief, or where it's just kind of mixed, and where it's just kind of, I don't know, what is it? What would the word be like? You know, it's just kind of, all just kind of whitewashed together. It just kind of like looks pretty on the outside, but if you scratched on it, it something's not right underneath it. It just doesn't quite sound right. It looks good, but it's just like, what? I don't know. Yeah, it's a check in your spirit. You know, you're looking at it and you're saying, I mean, it's like I saw your mouth move and say the right words, but I don't know. Something just don't quite line up with this. It just doesn't seem like that's really the same voice of the shepherd I'm hearing. And I'm just telling you, there's things going on that are blatant, open, obvious, the voice of the thief. And then there's some things that are a little more subtle, and then there's these other things that are kind of, you know, they're right on the fence, right on the edge, playing around in the tank dump, and they're going to slip and fall in. You with me? And I really believe with all of my heart that more now so than ever before in our life, we have to hear the voice of the shepherd. We've got to be sensitive on the things that we do. We've got to be sensitive on the of everything that we're doing and everything that we're walking in, to hear the voice of the shepherd, to see, is this God in this that we're going down, this road we're going down? And if it's not, you need to stop, because you may have gotten ahead. You need to let Jesus, you need to turn around maybe and say, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Please let me bow out of the way while you come up. Or do I need to go back and fix what I messed up? Or y'all with me? And remember, it's always, always has to line up with the Word. If it doesn't line up with the Word, and it doesn't line up with the Spirit of the Word. Because I can find some word twisted around and make it mean something else. But if it doesn't line up with the total, complete counsel of God's Word, then you better be careful. Because I'm telling you, God's not changing. His Word's not changing. Just man's trying to figure a new way to, let's listen to the voice of the thief, to manipulate things around. Amen? So we got to hear His voice. Got to hear His voice. Got to hear His voice. Take time. Don't get in such a hurry. Listen. Look. Leave your house every day when you're going out to work or wherever you're going, and just pray. Say, God, open up my eyes today. I want to follow you. I want to trust in you with all of my heart, not lean to my own understanding. Keep yourself attentive like that. Keep yourself through the day attentive like that. If you get off and you're getting off to the side and getting too caught up with the things of the world, stop. Just pause for a minute. You don't have to take an hour to pray. Just stop and catch yourself and pull yourself back and say, no, Lord, I'm getting too busy. I'm trying to figure out how this is going to work out and how I'm going to get this and this and this done. It's getting too busy. It's getting too crazy. 3 times a day, I had to stop and do that. I just had one of those days. It was just a busy, crazy day. And it's 3 times I had to stop myself and say, and I'd just stop and I'd pray and I'd read my word. Just throw open the Bible anywhere. Just play the throw open the Bible game, you know. and just read about the scripture wherever it fell. That's where I read and just read just to do it because I already read all my daily reading that morning. I just threw it up and said, "Oh, I've got to have some word. I've got to feed them some word. Got to have something. Tell me something, Lord. Tell me something, Lord." 3 times I had to just stop and do that today because it was just like today for me was one of those days I was just bombarded from everything and just, you know, it started out quick and early, fast, and just one phone call after the next and this and that and the other and here's this and that and the other. And it was all good stuff. It wasn't anything bad. It wasn't, you know, it was all good stuff, but just so much. Got to stop and do it. Stop and sit down and have a cup of coffee and pray. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God.